Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back into Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. Thank you so much for coming into the show. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. We're talking Chicago Bears, and we're also going to be talking a little bit of everything around the Chicago sports buffet line. A lot to talk about the Chicago Bulls, Blackhawks, and the Chicago Cubs, too, as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, thank you so much for tuning in. Like, comment, and subscribe below. If you want to find us on the podcast form, just Google Sports Talk Chicago. We'll pop up with Google, Apple, or Spotify. And I also want to give a quick shout out to all of our wonderful radio affiliates across the great state of Illinois, 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, JED TV, WJOB, Cities 92.9 Talk FM, WROK in Rockford, and 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio. So without further ado, talking Chicago Bears, talking Chicago sports right here on Sports Talk Chicago. Chicago Bears pick up a much needed win against the Los Angeles Rams, 24-18. They moved to 2-2 on the season. It wasn't easy in the first half. They didn't play very well. Obviously, it looked more like the first 3 weeks of the season in the first half. They were able to get a field goal towards the end there, and then the second half. I'll be honest. Can we give some credit or make some progress where progress needs to be acknowledged? They played about a quarter and a half of pretty good football. And we walked out of it with, last week I did a show talking about the offensive line, talking about the offensive coordinator, talk about the lack of the running backs, and oh yeah, a rookie quarterback who's still making some mistakes and trying to progress, but maybe not at an accelerated level that some Bears fans would like, and the offense has been a mess. But I think we're able to walk out of this Los Angeles Rams win over the Los Angeles Rams and see some bright spots. I want to start first and foremost, like we do every single week, let's start with Caleb Williams. Now, the numbers are not eye-popping, but to those, some past quarterbacks, W, that's the most important thing. Zero turnovers, another important thing. And some progress made in a very key area. Against the blitz, Caleb Williams, our rookie quarterback, in only his fourth NFL start, was 8 of 9 versus the blitz, and one of those passes came on that wonderful TD pass to DJ Moore. That's big-time progress, because as we talk about it, and I think is going to be a continued issue for the Chicago Bears moving forward, is I think Shane Waldron can improve. I think DeAndre Swift can run harder. I think we can find ways to scheme up better situations to get the ball to DJ Moore down the field. But I think the one thing that isn't going to be going away anytime soon is that offensive line. It's going to continue to be a problem. If it isn't somebody 1 week, it's somebody the next week. In this particular situation, I think this week the crosshairs are on Braxton Jones. The guy just isn't necessarily a starting left tackle in the NFL. A lot of people talk about it. He needs to get stronger. The technique is fine, but man, out of all the positions in the NFL, where do they pay the buku bucks to the people on the offensive line? They pay it to the left tackle. I'm proud of you, Ryan Poles, for finding someone in the fifth round. I'm sure you go to parties and walk around the office with your chest puffed out that you found some value in that round of the draft, and he's now starting for you on your football team at a very, very, very discounted price. But at some point, you have to ask yourself, okay, you made a great deal. It's going to be time to upgrade after this season with Braxton Jones. I just don't see it as the future. Tevin Jenkins, have you heard this before? Got hurt. Was unable to finish the game as of this taping right now. He is not practicing. We'll see how that plays out throughout the rest of the week. And, of course, Coleman Shelton, Nate Davis, they took their turns having their own problems. Chicago Bears had 10 penalties in this game. A lot of pre-snap problems, again, that we can blame it on the person who gets the number called from the referee when the flag gets thrown. Like Cole Kmet's been flagged a couple of times on an illegal motion. Mercedes Lewis comes into a game, immediately gets a false start. But I think a lot of this comes back to the rookie quarterback a little bit. And if we want to be praising Caleb for how he played in this game against the Rams, which I'm about to do. Criticism definitely on the pre-snap. The operation is a little choppy at times, and when you have a tough offensive line that is challenged talent-wise already on this team, you can't shoot yourself in the foot with a first and 15. These long down and distances have been really, really difficult, and that's a big reason why the Chicago Bears were 3-9 on third down. But Caleb, again, 8 of 9 on the blitz. That's a positive sign under pressure. Threw a brilliant touchdown pass to DJ Moore. I mean, when we talk about past quarterbacks in Chicago, some quarterbacks that can only see half the field, some quarterbacks that can't get to their second progression, some quarterbacks that when they see a guy open, they freeze. All of those things did not apply to Caleb Williams in many of these moments in the game. And it is fair to say that, look, he's very young. He's still going to continue to make mistakes. He's still going to play some pretty horrible games. He's already flashing a couple of things that the last two quarterbacks in this town never did. And it's promising. 15 of 15 on passes of less than 13 yards. Look, you can read that however you want. The one way to read it is that he is still struggling to find receivers and complete passes down the field where it matters in the modern NFL. There are huge accuracy issues still with Caleb Williams with any pass that I believe is going past 15 yards right now. I mean, that's going to have to get worked out. I don't know if it's going to necessarily happen next week against the Carolina Panthers or tomorrow morning against the Carolina Panthers or moving forward. But 15 of 15 on passes of less than 15 yards, the optimist side is also that he isn't forcing the ball to different places and he's understanding where his checkdowns are and he's just trying to move the chains. Play some clean football. And in this game, the defense definitely helped him out with an interception, strip sack, fumble. But those 24 points, they're all put up by the offense, and that was a great sign. I'm going to be very cautious with how I say this now. But I really, really enjoyed that performance from Caleb Williams this Sunday. You know why? Because it was ho-hum. And I feel like a lot of Bears fans and probably even myself fell a little victim to sometimes to the highlight reel mentality of Justin Fields. I felt like we fell in love a little bit with Mitch. 6 touchdowns against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, throwing for over 300 yards against the New England Patriots. Don't get me wrong. I love Santa Slay. I love all that good stuff. But there were definitely some smoke and mirrors and some gimmicks offensively that were helping Mitch out at the time when we were winning games with our defense. But there was something about Caleb in this game that, look, it wasn't sexy or interesting. He had a couple plays where he rolled out of the pocket and showed a little bit of that athleticism. I appreciated that. But in this game, what are we walking out talking about? We're walking out and talking about, hey, Shane Waldron had a bounce back. Hey, DeAndre Swift looked pretty good. Even Torrey Taylor is getting a lot of love. And it's not because, we're not mentioning Caleb Williams because he played poorly. It's just, he just did his job. He did his job, 0 turnovers, won a football game, moved the chains. Can it be better? Absolutely. Was Caleb the reason why the Chicago Bears beat the Los Angeles Rams? No, but he was a contributor. That, to me, for a rookie quarterback, is progress. The other part that I found really interesting from Caleb is after the game. And if you've watched every single snap, which I'm sure you have because you're diehard Bears fans, you probably have already noticed this. But there have been times when Caleb completes a pass and you immediately see him on the sideline and he goes like this. And maybe for casual football fans, my interpretation of that is they just got a completion and he already wants Shane Waldron to be giving him that next call. What is the next play? Let's go. You've seen it multiple times where he's gone like this and he's actually had to wait while that call comes in. And then we get to the press conference after this game. Caleb Williams talked a lot about flow. Quote unquote flow, staying in the flow. Once we get in the flow, once we get a rhythm. And I will tell you, And this is something that I hope that we all keep an eye on moving forward in the next couple of weeks. Something that'll be really, really fascinating, the tug and pull between an offensive coordinator, a head coach, and a quarterback. That I think Caleb Williams, right now in his career, in this moment, I think he wants to play fast. I think he wants to play up-tempo, fast football for a couple of reasons. And you saw it at a couple of different points in the second half. But I think Caleb wants to play from snap to snap, maybe about 20 seconds. So when you get 40 seconds on your play clock, I think he wants to be at the line of scrimmage by about 25, 26. And then I think he wants to be hiking the ball between 18 to 20. And I don't think he wants to do that for the full game. Of course not. It's a tough thing to pull off. Chip Kelly tried to do it several years ago. It worked for a little while with Nick Foles, but it obviously kind of ran out of gas. I think he just wants to do it in moments for multiple plays at a time. 4 or 5 plays at a time, running at about 20-second intervals. And there's a couple reasons why. The first one, I think, is that Caleb probably enjoys the rhythm aspect of it, and I think he's trying to get his accuracy down. And I think a quick way to do that is to play fast. Multiple passes, stay in that rhythm. The most important one, though, and this is why I think Bears fans, bear with me, I think we may have a good one here in Chicago, is that he is already recognizing that it's to his benefit. By playing fast, he eliminates all the pre-snap mixed coverages that these opposing defenses are trying to throw on him. If you're playing fast, you don't give the defense an opportunity to line up, to make a ton of substitutions, and on top of that, play these little different games where maybe you bring a linebacker down to the line of scrimmage. Is he blitzing? Is he not? Is he dropping back into coverage? What's going on? There's a guy coming from the left. Guy, you know, all this stuff that Caleb has to assess and look at in the moment. I think he's trying to eliminate that to the best of his ability. And if he can keep the pre-snap look clean, I think he's noticed that he's figuring out post-snap results a lot faster than you're taking your time, you clap your hands, you get to the line of scrimmage, you hike the ball with 3-4 seconds to go. The other part about it is when you allow an opposing defense to set up, you have to work more with cadence to try and, you know, throw them off the scent of when you're going to be snapping the ball so they get their snap off. You get your snap off a little bit better than the defense is. I think Caleb Williams is trying to minimize and mitigate all these little different nuances that he still has to learn in the NFL. And bravo for him asking for it. And I hope, and I'm fascinated to watch in the coming weeks, whether they actually listen to him or not. What I'm saying is 3 different moments in an offensive drive, 4 or 5 plays at a time, that you play up-tempo, almost no huddle. You're back at the line of scrimmage with 25 seconds. You're hiking the ball with 18 seconds, and let's just see how it goes. Is this antithetical to we are a defense-first team? Sure. But at the same time, you're giving your quarterback an opportunity to play in rhythm. You're giving a quarterback an opportunity to get the most vanilla-looking pre-snap coverage looks that he possibly can. And maybe along the way, you're trying to wear out the opposing defense, and maybe that gives your offensive line a little bit of a leg up to try and get some leverage up there and get a little bit more push, which we saw at times against the Rams. Obviously, it needs to be better. But that's the type of progress that you want to see. And the fact that Caleb is asking for in a post-game presser, and whatever you want to make of this leadership council, the Chicago Bears have 7 or 8 leaders on their team, and the players asked to have a meeting with the coaches, with Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus, to clean some things up, to ask to be coached harder. I know it's coming off a win. That's a huge red flag to me. But again, maybe some of these things that they were asking for, maybe they got a little bit of it in this game. Chicago Bears win. Moving forward, can we see a little bit more of that? Some criticisms that I gave out last week that, look, I have to give a little bit of credit to. I'm not going to say that everything's all hunky-dory and everything's all better, but, I mean, look, DeAndre Swift ran hard. He ran with intention. He looked pretty dang good, had over 150 all-purpose yards, And when there were a couple of moments when actually Coleman Shelton actually got to the second level, when Matt Pryor actually got to the second level, DeAndre Swift, he took advantage of it. And for the first time, we saw a couple things. One, we did see him run hard. I saw him run hard and definitely finish his runs with authority. I thought that was impressive. But again, this was the first time that we saw DeAndre Swift in that space that I think Ryan Poles was envisioning when he signed him. And the results were strong. I think he still needs to be splitting carries with second-year running back Roschon Johnson. And credit to Shane Waldron that I feel like that he had not just the right calls in the right moments, but he had the right players on the field when he made those calls, which I think has been a huge issue so far. On some of these plays that haven't worked out, they've been asking guys like DeAndre Carter to block on the edge. I think they've been asking way too much of Roma Dunze from a blocking perspective on the outside. The dude is a rookie. I think he's incredibly talented. He's tall, he's fast, he's strong, great catch radius. Absolutely awful blocker right now. Can't do it. He's a rookie. He's got to learn. But we're asking these guys, we're putting them in situations that I don't think that they can possibly accomplish or have success in, and it's led to negative plays. I get it, at some point it's going to be on the player. But minimize a little bit and try and get the right personnel in the right look at the right time. Look no further than when they bring Doug Kramer out for that heavy fullback set to get Roschon Johnson in there, into the end zone. Know your personnel. It's going to be a big part of it. I mean, I have to give all these criticisms. I'm still not going to give a pat on the back to the offensive line. They don't deserve it. But, I mean, Shane Waldron made some improvements, right? For the first time, you kind of saw him deploy the personnel on the team and try and meld it with whatever offensive schematic attack that he wanted to have. You started to see it a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong. Chicago Bears were absolutely awful in the first half. Awful, awful. Same old football, same old terrible stuff. We got to the point where by the end of this game, we got maybe about 1.5 good quarters from them. Some may argue 2. At this point, I mean, beggars can't be choosers. We'll take it. They're not ready to play four-quarter football offensively, that's for sure. They're damn sure ready to play four-quarter football from a defensive perspective. But again, we're looking for these little progress markers here, and we really, really needed this one, Bears fans. If it looked the same as it did against the Indianapolis Colts, man, how would we be feeling today? We're still not feeling great, but we're happy that we're at 2-2. There's plenty of problems still with this football team. I am not a huge believer in Matt Eberflus. The jury is still out on Shane Waldron. Is DeAndre Swift going to be a consistent week-to-week running back that we can count on? Questions that need to be answered. But some progress was made, and in my opinion, I'm starting to see a little bit of we got a good one in Caleb Williams. It's going to take, I think, the entire season for us to probably get a really good feel on it. Hopefully it comes a little bit sooner. We'll see. But again, another stepping stone, another incremental progress made by our rookie quarterback in only his fourth start. And now, the Chicago Bears moving forward, if anyone's not looking at the schedule, they got a real opportunity coming up here. Everybody knows about how tough the schedule is in the second half because they play a lot of teams in their division. Let me give you guys a little piece of news here about the NFL. A lot of these schedules were backdated with division play. There are a lot of teams in the NFL going, oh man, look at that second half schedule. It's tough for this team, this team, this team, this team. We are not alone. Do not pretend you are special in that regard. It's going to be tough, close football all throughout the second half of the year. And I think obviously it looks like the NFL intentionally did that to try and maybe make some smaller spreads, make some closer games, and obviously ratchet up the importance of late season second half football. But coming up for the Chicago Bears, man, they have an opportunity. So the fact that they played better against the Rams was huge. Because here's what they have coming up. They're hosting the Carolina Panthers at Soldier Field on Sunday. They're hosting Jacksonville in London. Home game for us, obviously, a very, very, very far away game for both teams. They get a bye week. They come back. They're at Washington. Man, that's going to be a great matchup. And then they host the Arizona Cardinals. We'll see what the weather's like. And then they host the New England Patriots before the Green Bay Packers come to Soldier Field November 17th. But those next five games, 6 weeks plus a bye, Carolina, Jacksonville, Washington, Cardinals, and Patriots. Right now, four of those five teams are all under 500. Washington's obviously 3-1, but the combined record of all of those teams right now is only 6-14. This is the soft part of the schedule. We've officially walked into it, Bears fans. The opportunity is now. For those of you who are banging the table for double-digit wins, I did it. I said 10. This is the moment right here. And I'm not saying they need to sweep this. They do not need to go 5-0. If they go 5-0, that'd be actually pretty great. I think we'd feel pretty good about that in this town. But, man, they need to go at least 3-2, need to go at least 4-1 here to hang around in the playoff conversation, hang around in the double-digit conversation. Carolina looks like a win. Got to take care of business at home. Jacksonville and London, look, Jacksonville's 0-4 right now. That team is falling apart. And when we talk about progress on a week-to-week basis, that has not been the case for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Chicago Bears should be able to win that game. The Washington game, man, I tell you, heading into the season, I wrote that down as a win, but that looks more like a 50-50 game as the weeks go on. Washington's defense is not very good, but man, Jaden Daniels is off to a great start. And if you want to start playing the game of Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels, knock yourself out. Jaden Daniels is, what, 2+ years older than Caleb Williams, seen a lot more football. I mean, they're just at different points in their careers. For everybody who wants to do Caleb Williams versus Justin Fields still, knock yourself out. Live in the past. I don't care. I prefer to live in the present. But the easy stat is that Justin Fields has been in the NFL for 4 years. Caleb Williams has played 4 NFL games. There's a difference there. It's a little bit of an apples to oranges. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is 2 years older than Caleb. It's just a fact. I got that game as a 50-50. And then the Cardinals at home, the Patriots at home. You should be able to at least split both of those, but the way the Cardinals have been playing, man, you don't know which team is going to show up for them on a weekly basis. And that's another team that can't play 4 quarters of football together. So Carolina Patriots, you got to win both of those. And I feel pretty good about Jacksonville and the Cardinals. So that's at least gets you to 3. Washington, we'll see. That's a 50-50. So there's a schedule coming up for the Chicago Bears. Where, man, get ready. This was a huge time to play a well-played game, well-rounded, good defense, good-ish offense, but that is way improved from probably awful offense the first 3 weeks. And the special teams, Torrey Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the party. 5 punts, 55.4 average, 3 punts inside the 20. And honestly, I'm laughing, and I know a lot of people are doing a victory lap because Ryan Poles drafted him in the 4th round, but man, a couple of those punts were huge. They pinned the Rams down. They limited their options for a team that was missing 2 wide receivers. Backing them up again with Matt Stafford, who some people think is a fringe Hall of Famer. I guess we'll have that conversation one day. But man, those punts were important. And that's it. 3 phases, right? Everyone's got to get a little bit better. One day, maybe. Maybe this year. Maybe in a couple weeks. The Chicago Bears offense maybe, possibly, will catch up to the Bears defense. Will it happen this week against Carolina? It could. It's possible. I will dive into my keys to a Bears victory against the Carolina Panthers very soon. But this is a window of opportunity for the Chicago Bears. And here is the good news. The good news is Caleb Williams is making progress. It's not highlight sizzle reel plays. It's him staying in the pocket, delivering the football. The accuracy is getting better on the short distance. Obviously, down the field, it needs to improve a lot. I think it will come eventually. He's working through it. But, man, you see the type of throw that he threw to DJ Moore for the touchdown. The type of throw that he threw to Cole Kmet across the middle above the linebacker's hands. I mean, that can be the beginning kernels, the crumbs of some special stuff. And the good news is Caleb played well. We won the football game. We walked out of it, though, and the biggest storylines weren't necessarily the quarterback. It was all the other stuff around it. Caleb just played clean football, efficient, almost boring. And I'm telling you, give me a big bowl of that as a Chicago Bears fan. I just want to win, and I just want to see efficiency. And this week, that's what the Chicago Bears gave us. We'll see what they give us this coming week against the Carolina Panthers. Big matchup. Arrow pointing in the right direction. I know you win just one game, but this one game needs to turn into two and possibly three. We'll see what happens from there. But they have an opportunity with their next five opponents with a combined record of 6-14. We're going to take a quick break here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos. We'll be back in just a moment.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.